Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Blog Talk listeners, this is Tom Hayes on Wednesday, March 26, 2014. And boy, we have Mr. Dakota on the line today, all the way from Portland. Tommy, is it blowing like crazy? We got some March winds up there today.
Thank you very much.
Studio audience going crazy there.
That's it. I just see. Hey, you have no idea the, thank God we're not getting any more snow. The snow has been so bad here. And good morning, by the way. The winds are beginning to howl here, but we're not expecting to get any snow. It's a little farther up the coast. They're going to get a blast. But the sea is angry today. The harbor's really quite a mess. There's stuff going around. It's scary out there. And a lot of the weirdos, including myself, jump in the car. They go out and get to some parking lot overlooking a cliff in the ocean. And while the waves that normally break a couple of feet are breaking 10 and 15 and 20 feet high against, the main rocks by the edge of the ocean, they're sitting there having their lunch and then letting it break over their cars. It's very common. I used to think I was the only one who went into that, but sometimes you can't even get a parking spot.
Well, they all want to be old salts, Tommy. Old salts.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what they're going to be. They don't realize those waves have more than just salt in them. I saw a guy, he had a brand new truck. He's locking his behind off because the water's coming up and just going right over his brand new pickup truck. And then one wave went over it, it must have been just full of rocks and pipes and all lobster traps. His car was destroyed, absolutely destroyed. He wasn't laughing so hard, but you think you pull into a parking lot and it's littered with giant rocks and boulders. It's coming from someplace. You didn't make the connection. I see that happen all the time. He's probably from Massachusetts.
It's all fun until it's all fun until an eye gets put out, right?
Yeah.
So somebody loses an eye. It's all fun.
That's right. Don't use that gun. You lose your eye. I love winter up here, but, geez, this is the longest winter. We must have at least a foot and a half of snow, and I'm downtown practically here on the ground. We're getting below zero almost.
Still, you have snow.
We just, tons.
Still,
anymore. We'll have this till July.
Wow.
It's supposed to warm up. To get to
I'm hoping to get up to our recording studio up there this week. I'm going to venture alone. My partner is left, but yeah, I think. Thank God. I know we had a little discussion. It's a running battle between you and me about, Boston colder, Portland warmer, Boston more snow.
Yeah,
Portland.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This year you're in big trouble. You guys lost big time.
Well, I'm waiting till the end of the year here. I'm having my four scientists I've flown in from Vienna to. somebody just came in the studio. They gave me a brand new microphone.
It's always fun when we have the remote studio in Portland. And, we were going to talk a little bit about Frank, our previous co-host, who's now, getting a little work done on his plumbing.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Frankie Fabulous, I always joke about him. He's an old friend. He was a terrible agent, but a great friend for more than 50 years. And, he decided to have this operation that we talked about, in case anyone's forgotten, after all these years. And at his vast age, I think he's 67 years old. He's
yes,
he's having
right.
A
happy birthday,
operation.
Frank, wherever you may be.
Yeah,
it's a good time to do it. 67 is a good year to get the plumbing fixed.
As a matter of fact, he's in Sweden right now, getting still prepping for this thing.
Yeah, that's true. Remember when Sweden was the place to go?
Oh yeah. Well, he's going to come back a blonde as well everywhere, and he's
today it's like Jiffy Lube. But Tommy, today it's like everything's fast. It's like Jiffy Lube. You just pull in, drive through, and then you come out an opposite sex.
Yeah. Sometimes they take the dirt off the car. Sometimes they take something off the guy. I told you before too. I suggested a bunch of new names for him that would be more indicative of his new sex, and it's still a toss up between Franny Forgotten Phyllis and Penny Perkless, which is my personal favorite. It's right down to those two.
What was the second one? Franny Forgotten Phyllis. What was the second one?
Penny Perkless. You say it fast. It doesn't sound as bad. But it sounds good, and look good on his business cards. Actually, when you read it, it doesn't look as good.
You know how the mind works. While you're talking about this, I just had thought into my mind, what if vets started offering this service to their patrons? You know, because they do have psychologists for animals. You realize this. Everything's in trend. They have hotels now. Of course, they have grooming. They have toys. They have nutritionists that, you know, they have. So imagine if, someone takes the dog to a dog psychologist or a cat, and the psychologist finds out that the cat or the dog is telling him, or the horse, whatever, is telling them that they really are the wrong sex. They should be something else. You know, I mean, this could really, really be pretty profitable for some of those vets. I mean,
it's big money. These vets get big money, although it's still less than people vets. I learned a long time ago from my dad. He'd find out what medication he needed, and then he'd take one of our animals down to the vets and say he's got this or that, and get the prescription he wanted. It would be like half the amount of money for twice as much medicine. It always worked for him. I do the same thing with a shrink. I went to a vet, and I'm explaining what's wrong with the dog, which I'm really telling him what's wrong with me, and I pinch the dog every now and then, so he looks out with a woeful kind of cry, and the vet says, they're there. I see what the problem is here. Meanwhile, I'm telling them why my wife hates me.
Yes.
So it works. It's cheaper.
Yes.
So if you're looking to get a cheap shrink, because they cost an awful lot of money, I've used them for years.
Oh,
I don't know why.
It's brutal. So you think that the animal shrinks would be less expensive?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. You know, kind of reminds me of the Woody Allen bit. You know, I got a phone call the other day that my best friend, Eggs Benedict, died suddenly. So I had been postponing my annual physical for a couple of years. So I decided it was time to rush down, and I had a full battery exam. Everything came out perfect. I decided it was time to call Eggs' mother, and I said, it cost me thousands of dollars to go through all these exams, but I wanted to make sure my ticker was okay. So I didn't want to end up like Eggs, dropping dead on the spot. I called up and I said to his mother, it's awful about Eggs, but just tell me how it happened. She said he was hit by a truck and died instantly.
Oh, goodness. That's so funny.
With all of this, talk about exercise and taking care of yourself. I don't ask for these things to happen, but the other day I'm thinking, driving along, minding my own business, and a question came to me from out of the blue, and it was, do you think Jesus was the first and original cross trainer? Isn't that awful? Right out of nowhere. I'm not taking responsibility. It was Satan. you know, to the fundamentalists, to the born agains and everything else, to the Christian right, that certainly would have been Satan whispering in my ear. So Satan whispered that little ditty in my ear. I wanted to put it on Facebook and on Twitter, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid that, you know, I'm going to offend a lot of people. But really, let's think about it. Everybody's into cross training, but Jesus was obviously certainly the most famous cross trainer of all time.
You know, maybe Nike or Adidas, one of those places, could have put the traditional picture of the poor guy on the cross. Or you could have, like, Nike running shoes on or something. Wouldn't that be a great campaign?
Here he is. He's carrying the cross. You know, yeah. He's been beaten and whipped. He's fallen three times. Was it three times he fell? There was nine stations. We were Catholic. We were all
14.
Boys. Was it 12 stations or nine?
14 stations.
Yeah.
You were Catholic.
14 stations of the cross.
Yeah.
14 stations of the cross. And so can you imagine that they, you know, they pulled footage from one of, or just go out and film new footage of, you know, Jesus walking through Nazareth, Nike, you're right, Nike or somebody else, and he's walking through and he falls, he gets up and he goes, and you think you're a cross trainer?
There you go. Perfect. They'll sell hundreds of shoes right after the
And then fade to black.
Burning of their building stops, they'll make a lot of money.
just Nike.
Just. And it's so close to Easter and Passover and all those other religious festivals coming up, and we're doing
Now that we know it, boys, this is going to end the show. We've been doing well on the charts, the metrics, whatever they call it. You know, the metrics are there. We're doing well. We have actual listeners. By the way, we should tell them if anybody is listening live now that our number is 646-929-2451. What would ever happen if we actually had a caller? We were supposed to have Bobby Seibel. The last two callers, Spence tells, what do you think it is? Are we supposed to do this? Because Don Gavin, a couple of weeks ago, didn't make it because somebody smashed into his car and he wasn't in the mood.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Bobby
Seibel
was supposed to be here today, but he went to Harvard Dental to save a few bucks on a filling, and he's
so
not.
His career's
wasn't
going well, but
and I can't find him. Well, he won't answer the phone because we all know Bobby. He's got a plan that costs him maybe $10 a month. He's got the one, and he's got the original. He's got the original phone. You know, remember when phones were? We all remember the day when they were monsters. You held this thing that looked like a toaster.
And
now they're down. Well, then they went to, you know, microscopic size, and now they're back up a little bit because of all the features. But so he's still got one of those tiny throwaway things, cost him maybe 10 bucks. And he's proud of it because he's got the plan that's he spends $10 a month for this thing. And the deal is, if you call him like I just did, just an odd chance that he might answer the phone. The only time Bobby will answer the phone is like after 9 o'clock at night and on a weekend because he gets the minutes for free.
Yeah.
And I figured out there is a method, though. Now, he ran into big trouble for years because he was losing gigs. All the agents were mad with him. You son of a bitch, you don't call me back, and because he wouldn't call him till 9 o'clock at night. And by that time, the poor agent needed to fill the gig, so he gave the gig away. And then Bobby called, "What? I can't believe you gave the gig away." He goes, "Well, I called you at 8 o'clock this morning. You know, the guy wanted the show tonight." Oh, my God. So this is what he does now. I figured out his M.O. He calls, he lets the phone ring. And then, because he doesn't want to engage in a conversation, because it could last longer than the 10 seconds. So what he does is he calls the number. Yeah, he calls the number, picks up the message. And if the message is about a gig, you'll get a call back. So I should have said today, instead of leaving a message, "Hey, where are you? We're doing a show." I should have said, "Hey, Bobby, I got a $30,000 gig this afternoon, cash." And he would have called.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You do a good impression of him, by the way.
You know, I love doing Bobby. Maybe we should do. There's a great I don't know if we covered it before on the shows, but one of the things I love about this, whether anybody listens or not, we get to do these amazing stories.
Yeah,
and they're,
yeah,
they're on iTunes, and they'll be around for a long time because this stuff hopefully will last, and we don't have, you know, nobody decides to get trigger happy with a couple of nukes and destroy the planet. But
yeah.
Bobby worked the Balsams. I was one of the first somehow because I was, yeah, a great place. And classic old, there was a National Historic, there's a rumor that they may come back. But anyway, while it lasted, it was one of the greatest gigs in the world. They paid pretty good money, but the best part of all is you got free lodging. And sometimes you were there for two nights or three nights, and you got free lodging for all that time. You got incredible dinners. It was like being royalty, the old days. So Bobby, you know, you had to play the place really clean. And luckily, I lasted. I never got fired. Most guys didn't make it. They slipped sooner or later along the way. It was a tough, tough room. You had all these rich people that wouldn't really want to laugh. And one of the only ways that I would get to them, it'd be like 9 o'clock at night, 9:30, the show would start. And they'd just sit and stare at you. And one night, I finally, after years, I figured it out. I said to him, I says, I know what's going on here. He says, at the Balsams, it's a great place. It's $350 a person for the American plan, because you're getting three great meals a day. So this is what you do. Everything's included. So you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You're down, you get your breakfast, that big, huge buffet of everything. You stuff yourself out of your mind. You make your way up to the golf course. You get your 18 holes in. You come back, and you get that amazing second lunch, that buffet with the lobsters and everything else, and you gorge yourself. You make a pig out of yourself again.
And
you're exhausted after the eight, but you yeah, and the whole yeah, well, yeah, that's the other thing. They take the food back to the room as well. And then I says, and then, but you it would be a perfect time for a little siesta, but no, you've paid for the whole day. So now you want to get to the pool and use that up because you've paid for it. And I said, and then, you know, you finish that for a while, and then you could go back to your room, but no, there's the free hayride. So you get on that. And then you go back at 5 o'clock and you get the hors d'oeuvres, and you stuff yourself again on the hors d'oeuvres. And if you go back to the room, you could get another time to relax, but no, you got to run down to the health club and use that up because you paid for that too. And then you go there and you get the 7 o'clock, you sit down, and you have the 9 o'clock, 7 to 9 dinner, and you gorge yourself again. And now you're exhausted. You had a couple of bottles of wine. And the most sensible thing to do is to go to bed. But no, there's a show that you paid for that's available. So you got to go to the show. So you all decide to come down and say, well, we could go to bed, but why don't we go down to the ballroom and stare at the comedian for 45 minutes? And that would get a laugh.
Yeah.
That would get a laugh. And they every time, that was my, if they wouldn't laugh, I'd get that. Because it was true. They're sitting there drunk and exhausted and stuffed, uncomfortable as hell. But they're not going to go to bed because, you know, got the free show. And it's totally Bobby. Anything for free he's going to take. So Bobby gets kicked out of the Balsams because he told a story, one, he had a great joke, you know, because he's that hypochondriac, you know, cheap son of a bee. And so the thing is, you know, I need a colonoscopy, so I did it myself. I got the garden hose, and I put the flashlight up. You know, I went to Home Depot. I saved myself $2,000. And because the doctor told me that he thought I needed a colonoscopy. You know, he did that thing with the exam, you know, the rectal exam. And I told him I wanted a second opinion. So he used two fingers. So the two fingers, some little old lady sitting, yeah. So
thank
some
you,
little
yeah.
old lady sitting in the audience at the Balsams. She's 99 years old. She's been coming to the Balsams for 50 years. She spends, and what they do, they had clientele that stayed there. They were so rich. They stayed there the whole summer.
Oh,
it was cost them like $40,000. So she's now invested $2 million of her life in savings to stay at the Balsams. And Bobby, and the band leader was from Glenn Miller's day. So everything is class, and that they've censored everybody going in there and warned everybody, don't step over the line because, you know, one bad move, you're out of here. So this little old lady, you know, gets her cane and goes downstairs and complains to the management that Bobby used the two-finger joke. Next thing you know, Bobby's out. And he's furious to think that he got fired from the Boston. Not because he got fired, because he got fired from every place. He did all the craziest things in the world. But he got fired from the Boston because it was all that free stuff. You know, it was okay that he got paid, but man, when you got free food and free lodging and all the other, and he would go hike in the mountains and whatever. So
I can't see him.
All I heard about. No, he hikes like crazy because he walks. You know,
really?
He's one of those people that's a friend of Bill's, and so you got to make up. You know, you don't exercise your right wrist anymore. And he talks about it. I'm not talking out of school. He loves to talk about his days of impropriety, but. You know, they got to replace it with something. So he either runs or I've got 3 hours of him on video. We did in a studio in Acton. I could not let the genius of Bobby Seibel go. And here he told stories I had never heard before. He runs to in the place called the Lynn Woods. In fact, he did a benefit once. He says, "Tommy, I need you to do a benefit. We're doing a benefit for the Lynn Woods." Now, he's also notorious for the trail of roadkill he's got in terms of relationships. He couldn't keep a relationship for years. And they were just tragic, all of them. I mean, we could do a whole Tommy Dakota / Bobby Seibel series that would last months. Anyway, so he says, he's got this thing. So he says, "We're doing a benefit for the Linwood." So I show up. I knew he had a roster of probably 30 comedians. So, I took my time getting there. So I get this phone call. "I can't believe you're not showing up. You know, I really put my faith in you. I love you. And here you are disappointing me." And I'm like, nobody's going to freaking miss me. You got 30 guys on the show. But okay. And I'm laughing as I'm listening to this on my cell phone. And so I walk into the room, and, "Oh, my God, you showed up. I'm so sorry. I just chewed you out. Can you go up and do some time?" And I say, I'm really glad here to be. And I love performing for his benefits because I could do him and people would get it, whereas if I did it in a public room, nobody knew who he was, so the character wasn't funny. I says, "It's great for me." He said, "Bobby called me up and told me he's doing it for a benefit for Lynn Woods." I was thinking, what did he do to another poor woman? Whoever this Lynn Woods is, he's trashed her life. And so I got a good laugh. So anyway, he gets kicked out of the Balsams, and for 5 years, every time we connect, I've got to hear the story of the Balsams. Those no good SOBs, dirty bastards, they screwed me. They ruined my career,
what
this meant to be. Oh, my God, we're talking 20 years. 15, but more like 20 years ago.
They're out of business now.
He carries the cross. So he carries the cross. Every time for 5 years, those bastards and he has names. He knows the names of the individuals that are responsible. Who called him in the office, broke the news to him. I said, "Well, Bobby, why are you blaming them?" I said, "You got to blame the old lady. It's not them. What are they going to do? They told you. They warned you." So I get a call a Sunday morning, and I'm talking to sitting here, and the phone rings, and it's Dave LaCamera, who's been on the show. He was the booker for the Balsams. And he said, Tommy, I got to talk to you. You got a minute?" I said, "Sure. I mean, it's a Sunday morning. Do you mind?" I said, "No, go ahead, Dave. What do you got?" "Balsams just called." I said, "What's up?" "Bobby wrote him a letter." "Seibel wrote him a letter." I said, "What?" "Yeah, Seibel wrote him a letter." I said, He said, "Yeah." He said, "He says they just called me. They opened up the letter. Bobby wrote him a 2-page letter about how they ruined his life." Five years later, he sat down and wrote him a letter about how they ruined his career. He had never been so ashamed or insulted in his whole life. Who were they to do this over a simple little two-finger joke? So he's been carrying the torch for 2 years. He goes, "Well," he says, "they're really concerned." I said, "What for?" He says, "Let me ask you a question, Tommy. Is he dangerous?" I said, well, yeah, of course he's dangerous. I said, he's dangerous to himself. He says, well, I mean, would he hurt anybody? I said, no, he can't. He's impossible for him to hurt anybody. Well, you know, I mean, the way he looks with his long hair and everything. I mean, what kind of a nut writes a letter after 5 years of being out of the place? I mean, has he been thinking about that? I says, constantly. So he says, well, they're afraid. They're afraid he's going to show up on the property with a gun. So I'm really concerned about this. So Bobby, you know, he gets reprimanded for writing a letter and, you know, we can never send you there again. 3 years go by. The guy that fired him died of colon cancer.
Poor thing.
I get the call from Bobby. I knew it! I knew it! I knew I'd get my revenge! And he died of the same thing that I made the joke about. He got his. And he's dead serious. There is nothing acted about this. He got his. He died of the joke. It all came back to him. See, karma, this is karma. He put it out there. He ruined my life. And he got his. In the end. Yeah. He got it in the end, didn't he? So now,
new meaning this is
the best part about the whole phone call. Here's the best part. You think I got a chance to get back in there now? With him gone, you think I got a chance? That's all he cares about. The poor guy's died. This guy's got a family. You know, he was young. He was in his early 50s. And this guy's, Bobby's thrilled because now he can get back in and get the free food. So I said, I don't know, call the camera and see if you can get back in. But I said, Bobby, why don't you wait a couple of weeks? You know, don't call him right now. He just found out the guy's dead. Let the guy get buried before you call
the rest
of camera and see if you can get back in the place. Yeah, so have a little reverence.
Wait for the old lady to
respect.
Die.
So he calls up, and by miracle, I'm almost through. He gets in. He gets back in. So I get a phone call one day. This is now, we're talking 8 years after he gets fired. I get a, during the middle of the week, I can't believe it, on his cell phone, but he's not using his cell phone, he's using his girlfriend's cell phone. And I get a call. You won't believe it. I got my revenge. I destroyed the room last night. I went to breakfast this morning. We couldn't get out of there for 2 hours. People wanted my autograph. I freaking killed. I got my revenge. I showed them. So he's totally vindicated. And I don't even try to call him back because it's the middle of the week. He won't take my call. But 2 days later, I'm making a sandwich for myself. And again, I don't know how the mind works, but the same thing as the cross-training. I get this idea. I pick up the phone, I call his number, and now this is when I first started finding out, he does call to see if he's got any message that could turn into money. So I call thinking I'm not going to hear from him for a couple of days or at least till 9 o'clock at night, and I leave this message. Bobby, hey, congratulations on that balsam things. I'm really happy for you and proud of you. I knew you could do it, and you did. You got your revenge. You showed those guys. You showed the world, Bobby. You're the stand-up guy. I said, but, you know, I says, I called in the camera to rub it in, you know, that you really are the great guy you are. I said, hey, I just want to call you up. Bobby called me and told me to kill, and now this is all made up. So I do this on the phone to Bobby. What do you mean he killed? I says, he killed. And I'm doing it just like I'm doing it to you. He killed. He killed. He said he crushed. Bullshit. He says, they called me up. They said it was one of the worst shows that have ever happened at the Balsams. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Well, you got your information. He said he bombed like nobody's ever bombed. I said, hey, Bobby, look, you know how this happens. We think we killed. No, we don't think we killed. We know we killed. We heard the laughs. We heard the applause. You got all the accolades. But somehow it gets back to the agent. Somebody screws you. Somebody must have dropped a dime on you and told you that you bombed again. I says, you know, and so I says, just to check in it, I called Rick Irwin, the band leader. You know, Rick's been to the house. He's a good friend of ours. So if anybody's going to tell me the truth, it's going to be Rick. I said, Rick, I said, Rick, I just heard that Bobby did great up there. And he goes, Tommy, he says, it was so bad, we didn't want to go back on stage. He says, Tommy, and all the comics that ever come through here, we've never seen such an abominable performance. It was awful. So I said, hey, Bobby, I don't know what's going on, but this is the report I got. So I hang up the phone. Not even 20 seconds later, the phone rings. Those bastards! I'm going over there! You can hear the motorcycle. He's on his motorcycle. I'm going over to the camera's office now. I'm driving this effing motorcycle into the office. I'll kill the bastard. And that Rick Irwin, that no good backstabbing bastard, he's smiling at me, telling me I did a good job, and then he has the balls to do this to me. So he's going on, and I'm covering the receiver because I'm laughing so freaking hard. This is beautiful. And this is exactly what happens to all of us. 3 minutes of a rant, and all of a sudden I hear, wait a minute. Are you bullshitting me? And I say to him, yeah, I am. No, I asked you, you're bullshitting me. I goes, yeah, exactly, I'm bullshitting you. I'm pulling your leg. It didn't. You son of a bitch! I'm at the Saugus Mall. I haven't even got my goddamn helmet on. I'm revving this motorcycle up. He said, mothers are running to their cars. Oh, it's him. This is perfect. Bobby.
I'm at Harvard Dental. I got a mouth full of fucking Novocaine. I'm going to be out of here. Listen to me. I'm going to be out of here at 2 o'clock today. Tomorrow morning. Is that all right? Can we do it tomorrow morning?
Sure. Let's do it tomorrow morning.
All right. Listen to me. This fucking implant, you know how much they're telling me? $12,000, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby, you're on the air right now. I was telling the Balsam story about you, the day I scammed you, that you bombed, and you were going to drive the fucking motorcycle into the camera's place.
Listen to you, I got to go back on the chair here. Tomorrow morning, call me anytime, and I'll go do it in the morning, all righty?
This is going to be the classic call of all classic calls. Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. Bye. I wish I used this as a drug when I was young. Bye.
Talk about kismet, huh?
Oh, my God. There is a God.
You find that better.
Well, folks, there is a God. What could be better than a call from him as we're telling the story? And I even got to the end of the story.
It's so funny.
You
still got the good timing.
Oh, my God. Seinfeld episode. This is a Seinfeld episode to the 10th power. Oh, my God, that's him. That's classic him. So, folks, tomorrow you'll get the real Bobby Seidel. We're going to do an extra show. We usually hold these back. Well, it's kind of like Elvis. We don't want to get the public to see too much of us. But you'll be available tomorrow, Tommy, right?
Sure. Sure, we should do
it. Okay, so we'll do
a
Bobby show.
Yeah, just tell me he doesn't have to do the Balsam
my
story.
God.
That's so funny.
Well, he's got that out of the way.
Right.
I was going to tell you about the Linwood.
Tomorrow morning,
we were doing this show in the acted studio, and he starts telling me about the. I said, "Talk to us about the Linwoods. How you love to go?" He goes, "Well," he says. Now the other thing is he collects. Well, maybe this is what I want him to do is to tell these stories firsthand. He collects tin cans. He, in plastic bottles, he gets 5 cents a piece. This is, honest to God, this is a 72-year-old man who is one of the brightest comedic minds of all times and should have been, you know, a national name long years ago. Should have had his own TV special, whatever. So he goes around to save a few bucks. And he collects cans and toilet paper. But and he steals toilet paper.
Used
from hotels and wherever. No, no, not yet. He hasn't gone that far yet. And so anyway, wherever you see him, he's got a bag, and he's collecting cans, and then he takes them to the recycle, and he collects. And so he and he won't take the toll roads. He takes the long way around. That's why he's so late. He sometimes for gigs, he doesn't take the toll roads. So he says, yeah, so I go running in the Lynn Woods, you know, and, you know, when I'm running along, I see, you know, people leave their cans and stuff in there. So I take them and I put them, I don't have anything with me, so I put them in my running jacket, my running pants. So he says, oh, and I'm running through the woods, and after a while you get a couple of cans in there, and all you can hear is clink, 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 clink. You know, there are people in there trying to meditate, trying to get away, and all they can hear me coming for miles.
he's funny.
Class.
I enjoy him. Last
he's
time
a class.
He's such a funny guy. He's such a funny guy.
We'll do it tomorrow, folks. Yeah, well, you know, I've got the premium plan for a month here. So we get to have, no, they won't shut us off today. So if you've got something, I was so rudely monopolized the conversation. You got
hey,
that cauliflower
yeah, I was
here
mention
again.
That. Now, it's been so long, I've lost so many brain cells.
But when you do a Bobby story,
minutes.
You got to do...
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a class. I mean, because it doesn't just span him just getting kicked out of the. I mean, it goes for 5 years,
that's
and then
so
he sends a letter, and then they call him up at the Boston because they're ready to put on extra security because they think he's going to show up on the grounds and shoot somebody. And
well, as people can tell from that 2-minute phone call we just had, he's a funny son of a gun. He's always on. He's always on, and he's always funny.
Well, and we're going to use him. We're talking about, since we have this other show, we should plug the other show, that we do
oh,
have
absolutely.
A children's family show about these. Yeah. And on that show, you are, Tommy Dakota comes out of show business to do what you do best, act in roles, supporting roles. You're the co-host on this show about deans, and you are. Tell them who you are.
I am Enzo Signore, Enzo Cannellini Bean. And I am the maestro
si.
of the Beantown Opera House, and I am the producer of a brand new opera called Beans and Franks. And if they listen, they'll hear. It'll make them laugh. It makes me laugh. It makes me cry sometimes too. But that's okay.
And
anyway, you come
and you
and
have
see
a habit. And you have a habit that you do regularly on the show. Have you got your little habit with you there?
Well,
the sound effect,
I got a little bit of a habit. Oh, scusa.
There you go.
Oh, scusa. Don't touch my fingers, please.
Scusi. That's your
shit. Well, when you're a bean, you got a little bit of gas. Plus, I ate some broccoli for breakfast, so it makes me crazy sometimes. And I have no control, you know. Anyway, it's a
nice
show.
We got to keep.
They might enjoy it.
Well, because you're a cannellini bean, we have to keep you out of the pasta fagioli. We don't want you to end up in soup. But
hey,
yeah, it's a great
now,
show,
it's,
and we have.
The Balsam's pretty much closed now, huh? Balsam's.
Yeah, supposedly, I got an email from one of the son of the guy that we just told the story about. That they're renovating and may be open soon. So let's hope that happens.
In the
20s. It was quite a spot.
In the 20s, my grandmother worked at the Mount Washington Hotel, which is very similar to Boston. In fact, it's still open. Very plush. You didn't go there for a day or a weekend or a week. You went there for the summer. A lot of silent movie stars there.
Yep, yep.
And my grandmother...
remember Art Buchwald?
Art Buchwald?
Yeah, remember Art Buchwald?
Yeah. What about him?
You know, funny, funny. He was a columnist, but he was also a great... had a great voice. And he was a great humorist.
Yeah.
And he... remember listening to one of his tapes or something once or on a radio show, and he talked about how he caddied, or at least worked at the...
Mount Washington.
At the Mount Washington. Yeah, and the best line of the whole thing was, yeah, and he says, it was my first sexual encounter. It was Gloria Swanson, and we were on the golf course, 5 feet from the 10th hole.
That's true. All of them stay there. All the silent movie stars stay there. My grandmother worked for the whole summer for one woman, silent movie star. Her name was Paula Negri. Big, big star in silent films. And it's a Polish woman. She liked my grandmother because she could speak Polish. She spoke, with the kind of crew they had. My grandmother spoke Polish. She spoke German. She spoke Yiddish. Just working in this hotel, she had to pick up all her stuff. And she stayed with Paula Negri all summer long. Loved my grandmother, in spite of the fact that she stabbed her twice with scissors over the summer because my grandmother apparently displeased her about something. At the end of the summer, she wants to take her back to Hollywood because she likes her so much and, you know, she takes abuse well. And she goes home, now she's a young girl. She goes home to my great-grandmother and says, oh, you know, I'm going to Hollywood. Paula Negri's going to take me to Hollywood. I'll work for her there. It'll be a great job, make a lot of money. Not in those days, my grandmother went berserk. My great-grandmother, and said, going to work for a movie star was one step lower than being a prostitute on the street. And there was no way in hell that she's going to let my young grandmother go to Hollywood to work for this Paula Negri. This is why my family is loaded with show business, but stabbed her twice. But at the end of the season, and this is in the 20s, I'm saying, you know, before talkies, so, you know, maybe 1924, 25, I gave her a $500 tip. That's a lot of money in those days. $500 for taking care of her all summer. But from that, she got to meet a lot of other these old-time movie stars. Paula Negri, of course, when he went to sound, had one of those voices. She had a thick foreign accent, so she never went anywhere after that. But she was a big star. But my claim to fame in my show business history is that my grandmother once up there, I guess, she danced with Rudolph Valentino.
Really?
Oh, God, she always told that story. It's just remembered it forever. She was out of breath by the time she stopped.
What if destiny had changed and, you know, that had happened? God knows what could have transpired.
Yeah, it's like been stabbed to death. But that's how my family got into show.
You're right. Maybe your great-grandmother saved her life.
Yeah,
maybe your great-grandmother saved her life.
My aunt was a kid. She used
that's
to,
great.
She used to hang around with Leonard Nimoy from Star Trek. I said, gee, a lot of personalities going through my life.
Well, he was from the area, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was from the West End of Boston.
When
he was young, really young, yeah. And my aunt was a friend of hers. She used to tell that story, of course. And, of course, the biggest claim to fame I have, and I've probably told you this before, my mother passed away a few years, my birth mother, and wonderful woman. And apparently just before she died, she told my sister a story that she was afraid to tell anyone for fear of everyone thinking bad things about her. But and here I am at a church on an altar doing a eulogy. Of course, I took the opportunity to do a 20-minute bit, but I got to this part talking about my mother and the wonderful things she did, and I said, just lately I heard this story that she was always embarrassed to tell. And I'd wish I had known now because it's the greatest story, and I'm so proud of her. Apparently, my mother used to date Lucky Luciano, the famous gangster. She must have been very young at the time, too. And this is what I'm doing from the pulpit of the Catholic Church, where she's been way too buried, actually. Everyone's hysterical, so, you know. I did a few bits. That was better than being sad. She's a good woman. But, she told me, made my sister swear to secrecy on her deathbed. Bucky was saying.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Anyway.
Well, this was really fun, and we got surprised. Talk about Kismet is right. We got
I
that was
loved him
fabulous.
Hey,
look, at the right time, we got to the story where he was going to drive the motorcycle. What he said to me was, there are mothers running to their car vehicles, he said, right now with their kids, looking at me,
so
screaming
funny.
At the top of my lungs. He said, they are evacuating the parking lot because this wild man in his long hair and his motorcycle is screaming like an idiot into the phone.
Hey, let's get Gee. I'm looking forward to him because all you have to say is hello, and then we'll just sit back and let him go for half an hour. So.
Oh, exactly, and we'll and I'll prompt him. I know enough of his stories.
Yeah, but
and I'm so happy that we're able to.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Sam Phillips getting his mission. So Sam Phillips, his mission was to get all these great blues singers and get them recorded for posterity. And that's how I feel about Bobby and a few of the others, like Don Gavin and some of the classic guys, is to get them, in these rare moments and, have people understand. I posted
all
stuff on Facebook.
And with the whole, they should be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear him.
We want to thank all of the listeners that are calling in because the numbers are increasing. We don't know what we're doing differently, but whatever, please come back.
Well,
and
I'm doing the show
naked
now. I don't know about you, but I haven't got a stitch of clothes on, and I just had someone walk in on me.
That's the beauty is we can do these.
Phone.
We don't even have to go to a studio. I mean, we just pick up the phone and do these beautiful things.
Pretty cool. I love technology.
So,
I wish I knew how to use it.
Yeah. And someday you're going to shock all of us because you're going to have your own guest.
Well, most of my guests are either in jail or for various sexual-related crimes or if they come and get us a guest, they might come and kill me because I owe them money. Either one or the other.
Well, you've had your share of fabulous stories. I think one of the things I'm thinking now is the day your brother and his friends lifted you and ten-fingered you into the... so remember that? Give me 10 fingers.
Oh, sure. That was,
when we were kids?
Boost. Yeah, a boost.
You never hear that anymore. Give me 10 fingers. Give me a boost.
And
maybe the young kids don't understand that. What that meant was, you wanted
put
to scale a wall. You wanted to...
They'd
put their hands together, and then you'd lift you up. Nobody 10 fingers anymore. Did you ever see a kid being 10 fingered? Never.
I know a couple
would
of people
with 10 finger,
but they're making porn movies.
But for us it meant you gave them 10 fingers so you could sneak into a ball game.
Yeah.
Right.
You
I mean that was the 10 fingers you needed to get over
little,
the fence.
Little step for someone in the
what were the applications for? The applications were for mostly for sneaking into places, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Or peeking in a window.
A
window.
Getting over walls.
Well, that was the first thing you needed. If a tree was tough, was no branches or limbs on the lower plane. You needed the 10 fingers to get up so you could get into the tree. But, of course, the person given the 10 fingers, he always got left down on the ground.
Because
Hoover could give him, he couldn't get the 10 fingers. He was the generous guy.
Give me 10 fingers.
Yeah.
That's all you said. Hey, give me 10 fingers. Of course, everyone knew what that meant. Now it means a slap
exactly.
in the face.
Exactly, and
then
you got a boost.
Give me a boost. Once you got on your 10 fingers, then you get the boost. Anyway, I got to go.
Well, the classic of. All right, it was great, Tommy. We'll do it tomorrow. What do you say? What do you want to pick for time?
What time?
9:30.
9:30, 10, wherever you like. Sure. I just can't wait. Let's do it.
9:30. Okay, we'll talk. We'll talk later. Yeah. Okay. Right. Let's do it. 9:30 tomorrow, folks. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
And have yourselves a fantastic day. Let's stay out of the wind and
Merry
the snow.
Bye bye.
Okay. Bye.
Every time in the time, that's the beat. In the time. Town on Lansdowne Street. You